Northwoods, how you guys doing? Awesome. So a couple quick things, real quick. My name is Dustin Tavella. He just said that. It's awesome to be here. There's a few things I want to get out of the way first. The first thing is that I recently had the honor of getting to perform with Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham on the, on the Summer Nights worship cruise that they did. And I pulled up two volunteers during my show. They came up, everything was good until they ruined my entire show. They messed up the finale and the whole show just plummeted because of these two individuals. I then found out that these two people go to this church and their names are Brad and Ashley Stiegel. They're sitting right here. So if you just get up for them, just needed to say that. That was the great surprise. I have a love-hate relationship with these two. So it's awesome. Second thing, some of you guys are like, this is a church. Who brought the sorcerer? I don't have powers. I always say I do illusions, I do magic tricks, emphasis on the word tricks. Actually, it's funny because I said I was an illusionist recently, and this person was like, oh, so you deceive people. And I was like, okay, I'm less like steal, kill, and destroy, deceive, and a little bit more like surprise party, deceive, right? I'm like, Gary, come get your lawnmower. And he's like, okay. And then all his family and friends are there, and they're like, surprise. Gary's not like, oh, snap, my wife was lying to me. Everyone was lying. Right? We're there to like celebrate Gary and make him feel good about himself by tricking him. So that's what I tell myself that I do. Anyway, so we're going to have some fun. I love this because I love putting visuals to stories. I love putting visuals to testimonies, to things that God has done in my life, things that he's taught me throughout my life. And I love to start before we get into the message, just kind of show you guys what I'm talking about. Is that cool? Can I do a little illusion magic trick thing for you guys real quick? Yeah, awesome. I'm going to bring up Pastor John, actually. He's going to come up. He doesn't know what's happening, which is fine. Sweet. And just to make sure, this is, and also, like, after that little explanation, too, if you guys still have questions or concerns about what I do, I would love to hear questions. Make sure you just email me at bradandashleystiegel@gmail.com.
There you go.
love to hear all of your stuff. John doesn't know what's happening.
Well, hang on.
He's like, don't touch my pocket.
I'm like... really suspicious, like okay.
All right, you don't have to be suspicious. I want to keep this fair, so here's what's going to happen. You're going to pick three random people that can come up here quickly. Don't pick the Stiegels. Pick three people randomly.
Three random people. Okay, I saw a hand right there. Yep, you come on up.
Yeah.
All right, who else do we go? We got this little guy back here. I see him. Okay. And then let's go right there. I see you. Come on up. There we go. Come on, give it up for him as they come up.
John, you're actually going to stand right here.
Okay, all right.
You three are going to come and just stand right here for now. What's your name?
Come on up.
Doug. Aiden, nice to meet you, Aiden. And?
Renee.
Doug, Aiden, and Renee, you come over here with your new friends. We're going to try something. You guys can stand right here. You can come over here, Renee. Yep, it's okay. You don't have to follow all the instructions. I'm going to have you guys close your eyes, Renee, you two, and we're going to bring something out that I don't want you guys to see. So you guys can all close your eyes. We can bring that stuff out. In a moment, I'm going to have you guys each make a selection, okay? This is going to be something of like a test of odds, all right? Do we have like the most important thing? Yep, make sure you guys keep your eyes closed. Awesome. While they're bringing that out, I have one thing in this box. John, this is for you in case anything goes off the rails.
Okay.
Just don't open that unless you need it. Cool. The next thing I have, you guys can open your eyes. You guys each have here numbers 1 through 100. You can check through, make sure they're all different. You can take those, buddy. You can take those, make sure they're all different. You can give them a little mix if you want. And the last thing I have is a list of 100 items, each with a different number with the item. Here's what you guys are going to do. You're going to turn around. Sir, you're going to stand right here. You're going to put yours in this box. Buddy, you're going to put yours in this box. You're going to put yours right here in this box. Yep. Put them on there, all of them. Yep, you guys can put them all in there. There's one in every bunch. We'll wait. I'm just like all of them, not one at a time. Yeah, just put them all in there. Yeah, just the whole, yep, there we go, all right. And then you guys can give those a little mix. Yeah, mix those up a little bit. And here's what I want you guys to do. In a moment, you're all going to reach inside that box and grab just one number. Now listen, the item on that table that you guys do not see yet is on this list. If one of you guys picks the right thing, that would be 1 in 100. If two of you guys pick the right thing, that is 1 in 10,000. And if all three of these guys get this right, it is 1 in 1,000,000, okay? So we're gonna try this. You guys can all reach in your box, grab just one number. Don't show anybody your number. Don't say anything out loud. Keep that to yourself for now. We're gonna start with you. Look at your number, and then we're gonna look at the item that is that number. Then you can shout it out.
Coca-Cola.
You lose, okay. We're down to 1 in 10,000. What was yours, buddy? Well, see this.
Milk.
Well, I mean, it's like in the thing. It's like part, I can't like tell you you're wrong because you're cute and little. So, and then.
Birthday cake.
Birthday cake, let's go. You win, Renee. Birthday cake. I mean, that was only 1 in 100, and that seems slightly disappointing because 1 in 1,000,000 would have been great, but John invited these two to the party, so.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing. It would be awesome if all that would have went right, and it'd be cool if maybe we could be like, let's try that again. We might have to try it 1,000,000 times to get it right. We don't always get that many chances, and here's what I love to do as an illusionist, as these kind of things. I love to kind of show what it looks like when we don't get a second chance, but we can make the most of a mistake. Okay? You guys all picked, and I can take this from you. You guys all picked the random item. You said Coca-Cola, you said milk, you said birthday cake. Only one of those is on the table. Now, I told you that you had something in case this goes off the rails. Listen, John, how committed are you to making this 1 in 1,000,000? Right now, we're 1 in 100 because only one person got it right. How committed are you to, like, this needs to be...
I'm all in, man.
All right, open that up.
Open this.
Open that up and put it on.
Put it on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, a glove, all right.
Listen, John.
What am I doing?
You can set the bag down right here.
Okay.
John, I want you to reach inside this cake.
Reach inside the cake?
Just reach inside the cake.
Is there something in the cake?
That's what we're gonna find out.
What do you want me to do, like stick my hand in it? Or?
Yeah, dude, how else would you, yeah.
Okay.
Anything? That's 1 in 10,000.
That's a. Is there something else
we'll,
in here?
We'll get to the. Here's what we're gonna do. One last thing, John.
Is this good?
I mean, you can try it.
Pretty good.
Did
you pick Coke?
He picked Coke. What did you pick? Milk. John, can you open this Coke can?
Get out.
Can you open it up?
Oh my. What?
Let's go! Give it up for these guys!
Are you?
Thank you so much. Give it up for John. You guys can sit down. I got the glove. Teamwork.
Come on, give it up for Dustin.
Just watch the milk as you carry it away. I'm also a child, so that's fun. Thanks, guys. Listen, as silly as this is, I do love this because I think sometimes we live in a culture where something goes wrong and instantly we think that that means it's over, it's done, and there's nothing more that can happen. And we think that if only we could have a second chance, and sometimes we spend our whole lives fighting for a second chance that we may never get. Now that's the bad news. We may not get a second chance. But the good news is what we read in the Bible that talks about the fact that maybe we don't need one. Maybe in the midst of our mess, there is hope. Maybe in the midst of the things that we have failed in the past, there's still hope. Maybe in the midst of the brokenness in our marriages and our shortcomings and our mistakes and our messes, maybe there is still hope. And that's the thing that I love, but it takes faith. It takes the ability to believe that there's more, to step into that trusting that maybe if we reach into a cake, we might discover something that we thought was impossible. And I think that this is hard to understand because we live in a culture that is obsessed with impressing people, right? You look through your social media feeds and this is like all we've come to do in 2025. It's just like, I'm gonna post stuff that I hope everybody will be interested in, like my meals and my family vacation. And it's like, it's so strange to me that we like post things and we're like, I bet everyone's interested in what I did today. Like, that's weird, right? Like we just think everyone wants to know us. And I think the problem is that the more we convince ourselves that what we have is so important, we often let ourselves down when we come to the reality that maybe we're a little more broken than we'd like to admit, and maybe people aren't as interested as we hoped that they were. And for me, I struggled a long time with depression. This was like a huge part of my journey, was feeling like I wasn't enough, I was less than, like I was all these things. And the funny thing about depression is that depression actually usually starts with the opposite of what people think. Depression starts with you informing yourself that you are enough, with informing yourself that you can do this, that you have what it takes. And what happens is when you let yourself down, when you let other people down, and when other people let you down, all of a sudden that same lie that told you that you were enough now tells you that you have no value because you messed up and you're forced to face the parts of your life that are broken. And you're forced to face the fact that you're not enough and that you are not your own savior. I am not my own savior. And I had to realize this as I was fighting through depression that maybe there was something else that could save me, someone else who could save me from this. And as an illusionist, you know, my job is to create things that kind of look different from what's actually happening, to inspire wonder and to get people's imaginations going. But one of the most real illusions of all time, one of the greatest illusions of all time that I fall for in some way, shape, or form almost every day is that my strength can save me. And in some way, shape, or form throughout the day, I believe the lie that somehow my strength is going to save me. And when I put my hope in myself, there is nothing but depression and anxiety and hopelessness that follows. And the problem is that, again, depression and anxiety and worry and fear, it all comes from this lie that we have to put our hope into the wrong thing. And the good news is that there's hope that actually exists. It just takes us putting our hope into that thing. It takes us putting our hope into Jesus, into his promises, into what he did on the cross, into salvation. Because when we forget who God is, when we forget what God is able to do in the midst of mess, it becomes crippling. We start disqualifying ourselves from running the race, from walking out the call of God in our lives, simply because something became broken and we forgot to remember that God can create something impossible in the midst of our brokenness. And so it's like I said earlier, sometimes we want a second chance and we don't get that second chance. But the reason that we often crave that second chance is because we want to know that we can do it. We want to convince ourselves that we have enough. And a lot of times all that we're fighting for in life is we want to prove to ourselves and to the world that we can do it. We want to prove to ourselves that I think I got this. I think I can do this. We want to prove to the world that I'm enough. Just look, if I show you enough of my strengths, maybe somebody will want me. Maybe someone will desire me. Maybe someone will think that I'm good enough and eventually I'll be satisfied when I come to the revelation that I am the one. I am my savior. I can fix this. And that is such a burden to carry because there are things in this world that we just are never going to be able to fix. We are not a savior. We can't save ourselves. We can't save the world around us. Only Jesus can do this. And the thing is that sometimes we don't even care that much about what it is we're after. We don't even care that much about the actual task. We just care to know that we could do it, that we could accomplish it, that it was somehow that we are able to attain that thing. And it sounds funny, but I think about this, like when I was in high school with like the girls in my high school, there would be girls that like I didn't like and was not interested in. I didn't like them, but I wanted them to like me. Like I didn't want them, but I wanted them to want me, right? And then sometimes there'll be this girl that like didn't want to like I'd be like kind of flirty and she won't flirt back. I'm like, oh snap, she don't want me? And then it made me want her more. Not because I wanted her, but because I wanted to be wanted. Do you know what I'm saying? We literally chase things that are wrong and broken and damaged simply because we want to feel wanted. I found myself in so many bad relationships just because I couldn't handle not being wanted. And you know the whole thing, we talk about this game, like play hard to get. Why do we play hard to get? Because we know that if people don't feel wanted, they can't stand it. We need to try and prove to ourselves that we matter. And as long as we carry that weight, we'll never be satisfied. We do this in our workplaces, right? We're like, man, my boss never notices me. He doesn't pay attention to anything I do. And it's not that you want more responsibility in your workplace. You just want to know that if there was more responsibility to be had, that you would be the one chosen to have the responsibility. Right? Because here's what happens. You guys are like, man, my boss doesn't notice me. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, Charles, got this new job for you. Why don't you take this on? You're like, I hate this job. I'm so overworked. Right? Because you didn't actually want more responsibility. You wanted someone to see you. You wanted to feel wanted. And you were looking to the world to satisfy that need. You were looking to other people to satisfy that need. You're looking to yourself to satisfy that need. And sometimes it's okay to acknowledge our brokenness, that there's things that need to change, and thank God that we do have a savior that walks with us and gives us worth in the midst of our mess, that can do amazing miracles in the midst of our mess. I wanted to read this verse today. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read this. Paul wrote this, and I think it's amazing. He says, actually, this is one of the most hilarious scriptures, by the way. I see the Bible sometimes a little bit differently. Sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it makes people realize how much of a child I am. But we're going to read through this, and I'll tell you guys what I'm talking about. This says, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to the visions and revelations from the Lord. And then he says this, I know a man that in Christ, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, like I'll pause already, like, listen, this is not up for theological debate. I can't explain it, but I know that this happened to this guy. He says he was caught up to paradise and he heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about that man. I'll boast about a man like that, but I'm not going to boast about myself. The only thing I'll boast about myself is my weaknesses. I'm only going to talk about my weaknesses, but I'm going to boast about this guy who did amazing things, right? And I was wondering, I'm like, man, who is Paul talking about here? Like, who's this guy that he's willing to boast about? Do you know who Paul was talking about? Himself. Paul was talking about himself. Do you know how ridiculous this would be, like me being like, hey guys, listen, I know this guy. I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to boast or anything. But I do know this guy who won America's Got Talent. Yo, he is an incredible illusionist. He's amazing. Like this is what Paul's doing. He's like, look, I know this guy who's amazing, but, and I want to keep reading, okay? I want to set this up. Like Paul's getting into this thing of like, I don't want to brag, but I've been through some cool things, but I don't want to brag about it. So he goes on to say, even if I should choose to boast, and this is hilarious to me too, I would not be a fool because I'd be speaking the truth, but I'll refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what or do or say because of these surpassingly great revelations. Like Paul's like, listen guys, I could brag because I'm awesome, but I'm not gonna brag. And he says that out loud. That's bragging. Like, could you imagine if I did this, like if somebody did this in sports, like in a basketball game, like, listen guys, I just want you to know, I'm not gonna play today. And I don't wanna tell you why, because if I told you why, you would know I'm gonna destroy all of you. I could destroy you, but I'm not gonna say that. Like I just said it. You can't say, I'm not gonna say I'm awesome. Because that's you saying it. That's Paul literally inventing the humble brag. Like he was like, listen guys, I'm not gonna tell you how great I am, because I am. And he literally says, and if I did tell you, I wouldn't be lying about it, because it's the truth. That is hilarious. Anyways, and the thing is, look, I don't think Paul's like delusional. I don't think that he's cocky. I think Paul's just trying to be careful. And I think that Paul is confident. And confidence is not the same as arrogance, right? It's okay to know the strengths that God's given us. Not only is it okay, we should know the strengths that God's given us. We should know the gifts that we have. And I think that the thing here that Paul's doing is that, see, Paul knows who he is, and Paul knows who God is, and he's smart enough to know the difference between the two, right? Paul wants to recognize his gifts without like trumping how important God is, okay? He's trying to recognize, like, I have some stuff that's good about me, And I think this is amazing. This is really, really important that Paul is able to identify his strengths without putting himself in the place of God. He knows what he has to offer and he knows what God has to offer. And so let's keep reading. It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions. I delight in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This verse always hits me so hard because Paul is able to recognize I have strengths and I have weaknesses. And he knows that his worth is not defined by his strengths, because if his worth was defined by his performance, that would mean that also his weaknesses defined him, right? You can't just say the good stuff defines me, but the bad stuff doesn't. Like if your performance defines you, it defines you, meaning your good stuff and your bad stuff. And Paul's recognizing, look, I have good stuff that I could brag about, and I have stuff in my life that I could be insecure in. But my hope is not in my performance. My identity is not in my performance. It's in God alone. My hope comes from God's strength alone. And I think that sometimes it's easy for us to be on one side of the pendulum or the other. We're either like, man, I'm awesome, and we think too highly of ourselves. We're too arrogant. Or we're on the other side, and we're like, man, I'm nothing. I've made so many mistakes, and we have so many insecurities because, again, our identity is in our performance. And here's the thing. When we start to do that, we start to realize that we will let ourselves down and disappointment will follow. And what I love about at the end of this, when Paul's like, and that's why I've come to even delight, when he's asking God to take away the bad stuff. And he says, for some reason, he's like pleading with God. And that thorn in his flesh, that thing, it was not taken away. And he says, so if God's not taking it, then I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to thank God when persecution comes. I'm going to thank God when things get difficult. I'm going to thank God when my weaknesses show up. Why? Because of what Jesus said to him, which is that my strength is actually shown in your weakness. What does that mean? That means that when your life is broken and you're still walking out the call of God on your life, when you have weaknesses and failures and insecurities and God is still using you, people are like, man, I don't know how they're doing this. Like, it's not their own strength. It must be something else. Then you get to point to Jesus. You get to point to Jesus when you're doing things you shouldn't be able to do because you're not relying on your own strength. And what this means is that hope is most potent when it shouldn't exist. And this is a scary reality. Hope is most potent when it shouldn't exist. How many of you guys would say, not only do you want to experience hope, but you want to bring hope to the world? How many of you guys would say you want to bring hope to the world? Yes. Here's why this truth is scary. People see hope more when it shouldn't exist. Hope shouldn't exist when things are difficult, when we're going through hard things, when we're feeling insecure, when we're messing up and we just can't seem to get things right. That's when hope shouldn't exist, when it looks like things are all going wrong. Meaning if we want hope to shine the brightest, we have to be able to delight in when things go wrong because we trust what God can do in the midst of those broken things. Is this making sense to you guys? God's power is shown when we're willing to acknowledge our weaknesses and say, God, I don't think I'm enough. I know I'm not enough. I don't have the strength to do this, to save my community, to help my marriage, to fix my kids. But God, I know that you're enough. So I'm gonna keep going forward broken, knowing that when miracles happen, I'm not gonna get the credit for it because people know that I'm broken. So when miracles come by these hands, people are gonna be able to point to God knowing that he is the only one that does it. And I want you guys to think about this too, okay? Any story that you have in your life that's either funny, hilarious, or inspiring, 99.9% of the times is because it's a story about when something first went wrong, right? Like think of any funny story. You're never like, today I woke up on time for work, then I got there on time, then I got home and ate and went to sleep. That's not a story. It's not funny, it's not inspiring. Because why? Because everything went right. The things that bring us life and the things that speak hope to us are the things that go wrong. Think about that little magic trick that I did up here, okay? What part do you remember? Nobody remembers the fact that someone got cake right. What you guys remember is that your pastor reached inside a cake, pulled out a Coke can, opened up, and milk came out. You guys remember the thing that went wrong and then was fixed impossibly, right? This is where your mind goes. You don't cling to the thing that went right, even though that was still amazing. You cling to the thing that made no sense at all. That's the part you're gonna repeat. And here's the thing that happens in the gospel. Every single story that we read first starts with impossible. Every story we've been inspired by and changed by, every story we heard talk about from stages in churches are the stories that were impossible first. We don't hear stories of the giant who showed up to face the giant and the giant won. We hear stories of a little boy who faced a giant and the little boy won. We hear stories of a whole group of people walking through water. We hear stories of people surviving lion's dens, surviving fiery furnaces. We read a story of a homeless Messiah who showed up and then died and then rose from the dead and saved all of humanity. All of these things first started with impossible. All of these things were impossible first. That's why we get hope from them. And this is why Paul says, you know what? I don't like want to experience trouble because it hurts. This is bad. It hurts me. It hurts my family. But if it's there, then I'm going to celebrate the fact that people might see Jesus in the midst of my mess if I stop pretending like the mess isn't there. Our job's not to ignore it. Our job is to acknowledge it and show people what God can do in the midst of it. And so I want you guys to think about the impossible situations in your life where you can maybe trust God more, where you could be a little bit more vulnerable to share with the people around you the things you're going through because you believe that God will do something impossible if you're willing to wait, right? Just like, again, it's so stupid, but the thing with the cake, right? We're just willing to be like, all right, man, I want this to be more impossible, so I gotta put the glove on. It feels kind of silly. I gotta reach inside of a cake and get messy in front of all these people, believing that maybe there's something there that only came through waiting, through risk, through being willing to look silly. Like that's the only way that impossible thing happened was because of John's choice to trust, all right, I hope this weird guy with a hat on in church knows what he's doing. right? Like, he had to put his trust in that. And I think for us, when we start to accept this, we start to walk in this. It said, listen, when you show the world what can be accomplished in the midst of your brokenness, you show the world Jesus. When you show the world what can be accomplished in the midst of your brokenness, they see Jesus, not you. And so many of us are afraid that if people see our weaknesses and our failures, that they're gonna see us. But when God moves in those weaknesses and failures, they don't see us, they see God. This is why Paul's like, I'm gonna boast in my weakness. Which, by the way, you know what's funny too? Paul's not perfect. Like, I think it's hilarious that all through this whole chapter, Paul's always talking about, I boast in my weakness, I boast in my weakness. I got this thorn in my flesh, right? Do you guys know what the thorn in his flesh was? Nobody does. There is so much debate over what the thorn in his flesh was. People think maybe it was a health thing. People think maybe it was his eyesight. People think maybe it was like a depression of some sort. Like, nobody knows. Do you know why they don't know? Because this thing that Paul is like, I'm gonna brag about, he never said what it was. Like, isn't that like this? But this is what I'm trying to say to you. Paul was a human, not only writing to other people, but reminding himself of how he wants to live. And some of us need to wake up in the morning and be like, I'm gonna boast in my weakness. I'm gonna boast in my weakness. I'm a little afraid to say it, but like, I have to do it. I have to remind myself. I have to preach to myself. I have to remind myself who God is. It's okay that there's mess around me. It's okay that there's brokenness around me because God can do something with it. For a lot of us, it's hard to kind of differentiate between what's real, what's a lie, what's God's word, because our feelings get in the way. And we have two boys, two younger boys. They're 6 and 7 years old. Their names are Xander and Silas. And for them, like, they have a hard time differentiating between reality and imagination and what's in their head. And one time when we lived in Las Vegas, I was upstairs working on some stuff. They were downstairs playing. And all of a sudden I hear Silas screaming, like that scream from a kid that's like, Daddy, Daddy. I'm like, I think somehow he's getting run over by a truck in my house. Like, I don't even know. But he's like screaming, freaking out. Of course, I'm like, I gotta go help my son. And I run out. You guys ever try to run down steps really fast? You're like, you literally, you're doing everything you can to make sure your head does not get too far in front of your feet. And then you just like jump down the last 7 stairs. So I run down, I'm like, Silas, what's up, buddy? What's up, buddy? And Silas is like, and he's on the floor like this, just like this. He's like, Daddy, I can't get out. Xander said he wasn't gonna shoot me with webs, and then he shot me with webs. They're playing Spider-Man, and he was crying because he was stuck in webs that weren't there. And I'm like, I have two choices right now. I can be like, oh, Silas, it's okay, buddy. Come here, man. I got you. Daddy has web-proof gloves. Like, let me get those off for you, right? Or I could be like, all right, dumb kid, stand up. Those aren't real. I obviously didn't say that. Some of the not parents are like, this guy's a terrible father. And some of the actual parents are like, I think that every day. So single people have kids, then judge me, okay? But listen, my son is there, and I'm like, okay, I don't even know what to do with this. Like, Silas, there's not webs. And Xander now feels horrible. Xander's like, I'm sorry. It was an accident. I shouldn't have done it. I didn't mean to. Like, he feels genuinely guilty. I'm like, dude, it's cool. Let me just talk to Silas. Before I can do anything, Xander runs into the kitchen, comes back with a knife, a real knife, a real knife to cut off fake webs. Talk about not knowing what's real and not fake. And I'm like, dude, you can't. Actually, I kind of want to see how far this goes, because I'm like, dude, listen. And, you know, of course, I explained to them, this is not real. And I'm like, Silas, look, just get up, dude. Just get up. You're fine. There's no real webs. Like, you guys are playing. I'm having to explain to him, like, you don't actually have webs on. You don't have to freak out. Side note, it was hilarious, because later they were, like, acting up. And I was like, guys, I'm telling you, if you don't stop messing around. And they just kept acting up. I was like, that's it. Both of you sit down. And I was like, pfft. And I pretended to stick them to the chairs, and they didn't get up for hours. It was great parenting thing right there. I was like, you guys are there all day until I take those webs off. It's amazing. I do it in restaurants now, in the car. I never told them webs aren't real for that reason. Anyways, I have ADHD, so. Listen, here's why I'm saying this. To my boys, those webs were so real. And to some of us in this place right now, we laugh at this story because we know it's ridiculous. And yet so many of us are bound up with very similar invisible chains that shouldn't be holding us down. We are bound up by something that's so real in our minds that we can't break it off. And thankfully, God's not like me. He's like, stand up, dumb guy. Like, God's like, listen, He gives us an entire Bible that reminds us of who he is. An entire Bible that reminds us in the midst of the lies in your mind, set your minds on what is good and true and holy and pure, the things of heaven, right? He's constantly reminding us, don't be deceived by the things of this world. Don't be tricked by the things of this world, or else you're gonna be bound up like this. Some of you guys are like this right now, disqualifying yourselves because of your addiction, disqualifying yourselves because of the problems in your marriage, the mistakes you've made in the past. Some of you guys are disqualifying yourselves because if you're like me, I not only look at my failures, but like I said, I legit do have a minor version of Tourette's. I have ADHD, OCD, HGTV, AGT. I have all the things. And so often I'm like, man, how can God use me? Like that's crazy. Like I gotta be fixed first. And I sit here bound by these chains, bound day after day after day, waiting for someone to set me free when I'm already free. And I think that some of you guys in here, God has an incredible call on your life, a very powerful call on your life where he wants you not only to be free, but to bring freedom to the world around you. And he wants to remove these webs, remove these chains, because it is not your problems. It is not your struggles. It is not your strengths. It is not your performance that defines who you are. It's his goodness and how much he paid for you. Some of you guys want to be a better parent. Some of you guys are worried about finances. Some of you guys are struggling with anger. And I'm telling you, God wants to use you in the midst of that stuff. And you know what's crazy? When you have like problems in your marriage and you still choose to say yes to encourage other people's marriages, do you know how good that is like for your marriage? When you and your wife, even though you're struggling, you're like, you know what? We're gonna pour in these people because there's some stuff we have learned. So even though we're struggling, we're gonna still pour out. And as you work as a team, hand in hand, pouring life into another person, do you know the strength that that brings to a couple by saying yes to God together in the midst of the things God's doing? You are not disqualified in the midst of your pain from sharing your struggle, from sharing Jesus and being like, look, we're struggling too. I'm struggling with this addiction. I'm struggling with this thing. I'm struggling with unforgiveness. But I know that if I just keep making decisions that God is gonna move, he's gonna bring hope in the midst of what's impossible. And sometimes things seem off because you're like, they're supposed to be, everyone was supposed to say birthday cake. And only one person did. This did not go the way that I planned. This did not go the way that I thought. And thank God we have a whole book called the Bible with thousands of pages about stories that didn't go as planned. Things that went wrong, that went off the rails. And every time Jesus steps in or sends someone else to step in, you, to be willing to reach in the cake and pull out something impossible to show the world that God was there all along. He was with you all along. And this kind of stuff, this takes time to like train your brain to do this. It takes time to walk in this. And this is why like there's something so important about community, because it really is something. It's not a normal way of thinking. This is not just like you wake up one day and you're like, oh, life's great when it's bad. Like that actually, most people who think that way, like there's something wrong with them. But when we're Christians, the reason we say that is because we actually believe that God wants to do something. It takes time. And this is why I think for us, it's so important that we have new friends, new communities. For some of us, you guys are here and it's amazing, but you've surrounded yourself with people outside of this church who are not making your life better. They're not reminding you of who you are. They're not reminding you of what can happen in the midst of your weaknesses. They're actually encouraging you to complain about it more, to go to more stupid websites, to watch more dumb movies that are only driving home your wrong value system, keeping you in these invisible chains. And I think it's important that we look back at the things that God has done, not only in the Bible, but in our own lives, that we hear from people who can look back and tell us the stories of what God did in their life, because looking back at what God has done reminds us of what he wants to continue to do. And I want to finish with one last part, because I think it's cool the way that like when we believe that in the midst of mess that God can do something, when we believe this, when we hold true to it, when we live in it, God starts to do amazing things. And I always say, like, for me, that's the most real kind of magic in the world, is when one person chooses to impact the life of another person no matter what it costs them, to make an impact on someone else's life no matter what the cost, because they believe that God wants to do something through them. That's what we get to do as believers, is in the midst of our, we need to stop disqualifying ourselves. And the thing that's fun is when we start believing that God wants to do miracles, that God wants to do impossible things, we start looking for it. And you guys know that when you start looking for it, you start finding it. And when you start finding it, you're then able to share it with the entire world, because you train yourself to keep looking for, where is God in this mess? Where is God in this broken thing? So I want to do one more thing. I want to call Pastor John up again. You're not going to have to put on a glove or anything this time. But I want to do one thing because I think that it's impossible that we constantly look back to remember where we came from, to remember what God has done in our past that brought us to where we are today. And we say God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to keep using you in the midst of the things that you're struggling with. So you didn't notice, I did one more thing earlier. You don't have to be scared of this part. He's so scared right now.
I don't know what he's doing.
So it's fun how sometimes there's things that we haven't seen that we don't know is already happening. So this guy, remind me your name. Was it George? Steve. You changed it. It's Steve now. Steve. It's always been Steve. So earlier I met Steve and I was like, Steve, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think of, there's 50 states in the United States, okay? I was like, I want you to think of one of those states. I want you to write it down on a piece of paper. And I was like, don't show anybody. Don't tell anybody. I didn't make you pick whatever state you picked, right? I didn't make you pick this. You haven't shown anyone or told anybody. Kept yourself. You wrote down a state. Any state. You could have picked any state. What state did you pick? New York. Out of all the states, he picked New York. I'm going to try something.
That's not the one in my head that I was thinking of.
That wasn't the trick, John.
Okay, all right. I was like, I wasn't thinking New York.
Let's do this. Give me a list of cities in New York State. Cool. Cities in New York State, maybe I can kind of show this. So we have a bunch of cities in, you said New York. We have New York City, Buffalo, Rochester, Yonkers, just goes on and on and on, okay? Tons and almost endless list. I don't know. Do you know how many cities are in New York?
No.
Okay, I don't know either. Let's go back to the top. Do me a favor. Kind of like Wheel of Fortune style, just like swipe up and we're just going to see where you land. Any city in New York, just swipe. Boom. How's it going? Keene Valley, New York.
Never heard of it.
If you would have went a little, you were almost on Lake George, a little further would have got you White Plains, but you landed right on Keene Valley, New York.
Okay.
You've never been there?
Never been there.
Means nothing to you?
Never heard of it.
All right, Steve messed up. No, just listen, Keene Valley, New York. It's random.
Okay.
Hold this for a second. Earlier, we had some people up here and we did some stuff. This is what's fun about looking back at what God has done and believing that maybe there's something there. We could just stop, be like, yay, good message. Or we could actually put this into practice to continue to look, to believe that what God did in the past is what he still wants to do now, to continue to do impossible things. These guys all picked different items on the list. They picked different numbers and I put them in my pocket. I think Coca-Cola, who got Coca-Cola? You picked number 3. The other person picked 25. By the way, that was a birthday cake. Right?
Yeah.
Before we do this, this church, obviously, who's been like impacted by this church? Cool. You guys know this church didn't like show up overnight, right? Like this took this family being willing day after day after day to put this into practice. When did this church start? Do you know the date?
Yeah.
Like
March 25th, 1990.
March 25th, 1990. It's weird because you guys could have picked any number. You mix up those cards. You picked 3, 25, and 90.
Wow.
The date that marks the reason why you guys are here right now. But this is still what's weird about this is because you picked Keene Valley. You said you know nothing about this. Sometimes this takes looking a little bit deeper. This one, March 25th of 1990. Seems super random. There's some facts about Keene Valley, something about the mountains and the peaks there. And then it says the zip code. 12943 is the zip code in Keene Valley, right?
Yep.
Maybe that's a date, December 9th of 1943, birthday?
No.
12943.
That's my dad's birthday. No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
I won't say that. All right.
He was like, that's my dad's birthday. I'm a pastor. I can't lie. Just kidding.
He's coming to second
service. I'll let the magician lie. I can.
It would have been better if he was here. Go ahead.
All right. 12943. This is random. You could have picked any state and then you just went to a random city.
Mm-hmm.
March 25th of 1990, 12943. I'm going to try something. 12943. Hey, Siri, how many days ago was March 25th of 1990?
It was 12,943 days ago.
Oh, my God.
12,943. Listen. Never stop believing that God wants to do something impossible in the midst of your mess, in the midst of the randomness of your life. God wants to accomplish amazing things in you and through you. If you just continue to look for God in the midst of the crazy stuff, I promise you, God wants to use you guys in big ways. Thank you so much for having me. You guys have been amazing. God bless you guys. Appreciate you doing it.